Hello, everybody. Well, it's a deeply disappointing result that Gerard Adams, one of the most prolific British criminals of modern times, has won his libel case in the High Court in Dublin. So Gerard Adams, let's call him by his proper name, has been a terrorist really his whole adult life. I don't think he is anymore, though. Probably so was obviously directing terrorism in the 90s, but since the noughties, probably not. It all hinged on the murder of Dennis Donaldson, someone who gallantly helped the security forces to battle against oppressors from 1986 to about 2006. Now, Dennis Donaldson was a member of Sinn Féin, seems to believe in the cause, and for perhaps less than honourable reasons, decided that he would assist the security forces in bringing peace and freedom to the people of Northern Ireland, to Republic of Ireland, indeed, Great Britain as well. But he then retired to Donegal, where he was murdered probably by dissident Republicans. I agree, it's likely this is one of the few murders committed by the Republican movement that Gerard Adams didn't have a hand in. So BBC Northern Ireland Spotlight broadcast a programme in 2016 saying it was alleged that Gerard Adams was involved in the murder of Dennis Donaldson, as in gave an order to do it. Now, Gerard Adams probably didn't touch a gun or bomb after the 1970s, but he was giving the orders. So he's a low down, oppressive, lying scumbag who's lied and lied and lied for decades, saying he was never a member of the IRA, when all sorts of high up IRA men with whom he was friends the rest of his life, they said on record, yeah, he definitely was. He carried the coffin of Brendan Hughes, who said, yeah, Gerry Adams was in the IRA. He ordered the murder of, what was that woman's n name? That widow, that young widow, that mother of those 10 children in the Divis flats, it'll come to me. And so on. Now, why on earth would he say that if it weren't true? Clearly, he wasn't doing that to help the unionist cause, Hughes. So we go on. And the legal cost of this will be of the order of 4 million euros. So, and Adams will have got about 100,000 euros in damages. So this is going to have a chilling effect on freedom of expression. And so they painstakingly checked all this, the BBC and so forth. More worrying things about it is, well, it was decided by a jury, which sometimes happens in the Republic of Ireland, likewise England and Wales. But there might have been a few Sinn Féiners, presumably there were, because Sinn Féin's quite a popular party. There's a jury of 12. The law of averages say about four of them are Sinn Féin voters, so clearly very prejudiced. But okay, somebody's going to be on it. Some will be against Sinn Féin. Will they be prejudiced? Can nobody be on it? And so on. So I don't know. It had to be a simple majority verdict because it's a simple matter. So it went on for about a month. So it was 11 people in the end. They took almost 7 hours of deliberation to decide. So it might be simply people's political prejudices at play here. The judge, he didn't allow extremely vital evidence to be given. Mr. Justice Alexander Owens, the victim's daughter, she wanted to testify. She wasn't allowed to do so. Now, the judge ruled that this was not going to be pertinent to the case. We don't really know that until you've heard her speak. And surely the jury will decide whether it's relevant or not. I mean, Austin Stack, who's the son of a murder victim and so on, he wanted to testify. Eunan O'Halpin, perhaps the foremost expert on modern Irish history, Professor of Trinity College Dublin, he was denied the right to testify. And even one of these people could have swayed it for the defence in this case. So we know that Gerard Adams is a sworn enemy of free expression. His terrorist organisation has attacked people for just voting the way they wanted, belonging to other political parties and so on. So trying to instill terror into people. So he's absolutely evil. He's facilitated paedophilia. He knew that his younger brother had sexually abused his own daughter. And then Gerard Adams organised for this man to go and work at an orphanage in Romania. So did he want this guy to sexually abuse kids? That is the only conclusion I can draw. And one of the BBC's lines of defense is that Gerard Adams had no reputation left to lose because it's known what he's like. And I remember seeing recordings of the early 90s saying, yeah, the punishment for helping the police is death. and he was advocating for the murder of totally innocent people, people who never lifted a finger against anyone else, who were just trying to uphold law, justice, and freedom. So his organization was a terrorist organization in the Republic of Ireland, in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in many European countries. So yeah, he is a very cruel, vicious person. And yeah, he's a pathological liar, has lied through his teeth, is an absolute Pinocchio. And obviously, his organization was defeated in the 90s by the heroism, by the professionalism of the Royal Ulster Constabulary, of the British Army, including the Ulster Defence Regiment, of the of also informers inside terrorist organizations. The loyalist terrorist organizations, thankfully, were also broke down, were also, yeah, broken down, were defeated again by the valor of the Crown Forces. The Garda Síochána also rate to mention. So the Crown Forces haven't killed anybody in Northern Ireland since, is it 1994? So over like 31 years, not a killed a single person. And Republicans have murdered over 100 people in that time, mostly dissident Republicans he doesn't go along with. He's not a peacemaker, he's a terrorist who happened to lose. And people say that they realized that he was someone who was more pragmatic, or indeed cowardly, in his movement and was going to give up, which is why the Crown Forces killed some of his rivals in the Republican movement and made sure he's promoted. He had recruitable vulnerabilities, partly because his father was a paedophile and there were things they could blackmail him about and stuff like that. So that's why he was moved ahead. Obviously, he was monitored. They had the MI5 for listening devices in his car in the early noughties. I don't know about that. I know that we know that because we found it. So now the BBC, he's obviously made defamatory statements about the BBC, saying it was not in sync with the Good Friday Agreement. I mean, what the good the BBC is not to have a corporate views on the view on things. Good Friday, good, bad. I mean, that's it. Or and so on. That is somehow a branch of the British state. I mean, that's not true. Like it's a sort of an independent trust is not state-owned. That's factually incorrect, and so forth. So, if anything, you know, we know that they're liberal left because they're youngish graduates, mostly living in cities like Belfast or London or Manchester or Edinburgh or Cardiff, and people in the media are overwhelmingly liberal left. And he's a far left organization. If anything, their sympathies would be towards his movement. So, yeah. Anyway, he's a very, very wicked, vicious, despicable, foul bastard. So it's a very a sad day. It shows that there is injustice in Ireland perpetrated by his organization. And if there were justice, obviously he'd be serving reclusio perpetua, but that's not going to happen. And he's got rich on this. The so-called socialist has gone to receive private medical care in the United States. So if he really had a shred of decency, he'd give all the way the money away to his victims. So he's anti-democratic, and he's really filthy. Fortunately, he won't live much longer, but there we go.